Shall now then call forward Brother Arthur, please, to deliver his remarks on the subject, "To Thee I Lift My Soul." Brother Arthur, please.
My beloved brethren and sisters in Israel's glorious hope, our psalm this morning, Psalm 25, commences with those wonderful words, "Unto thee, O Yahweh, do I lift up my soul. I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me." In this phrase, brethren and sisters, we see shown here the confidence that David has in Yahweh. "I trust," or "I have confidence in thee." To put our implicit trust in someone, brethren and sisters, indicates that we know that person. We wouldn't put our trust in a stranger. And this is true here of David. We are told he was a man after God's own heart. He knew Yahweh. We know a person intimately when we study the characteristics of a person, as David did. He said, "I have more understanding than all my teachers." How could David say this? "Because thy testimonies," he said, "are my meditation. I have refrained my feet from every evil way or path, that I might keep thy word. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way." Here then, brethren and sisters, is an exhortation for us, is it not? For we read in John's gospel record that this is life eternal. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. We must indeed know and emulate in our lives the ways of the Father and of his beloved Son. During the last war, I read of a man who was to take the place of another person. He was to go where that other man had lived some time ago, and he was to impersonate that man. It was, in those days, a very dangerous thing for him to do. So he had to do that impersonation very, very well. He had to study all that was known of that person, his characteristics, his manner of life, how he walked. Was he a gentle type of person, or was he a rough type of man? Was he mean, or was he generous in his ways, etc. and etc.? He had to study and imitate the other person's way until he was perfect, until he could stand with those other men's old acquaintances without them having any doubt or suspicions about him. Now in the Psalms and in the scriptures which we read, which speak of David, we see how he desired to seek with all his heart the character of Yahweh, how he might indeed manifest him in all his ways, that he might do the things that Yahweh had shown through his word. But unlike that person in the war, who was doing it to help his country fight an enemy, David desired to do it. He desired to please Yahweh, realizing, as we should all realize, that it was in him he lived, moved, and had his very being. Turn with me to that psalm, Psalm 15, 25, I'm sorry, and verse 4 and 5. Verse 4 and 5. Show me thy ways, O Yahweh. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the Elohim of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Show me thy paths, O Yahweh. Show me thy ways, O Yahweh. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me, for thou art the Elohim of my salvation. On thee do I trust. Teach me thy paths, said David. And the word path here is orach in the Hebrew. And this, it signifies, as according to Young, with the word path in this verse and in verse 10, signifies a customary road, a well-trodden path. Teach me thy paths, a customary road, a well-trodden road. And we might think on reading this, brethren and sisters, that this well-trodden road spoken of here is a literal path that is well walked by the people of the world. But no, for as the prophet Jeremiah tells us in his 10th chapter, O Yahweh, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man to walk or to direct his steps. And verse 10 of this psalm shows us clearly that this path, the well-trodden path, is of those who walk faithfully and trust in Yahweh. Verse 10, all the paths of Yahweh are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. Not those of the world, but those who walk in the customary path. Those who walk the well-trodden path are the paths of mercy and truth unto such as keep Yahweh's commandments and his testimony. In Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6, the wise man tells us, trust in Yahweh with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. He shall direct thy paths. And in the 4th chapter of Proverbs we read, take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. There's a lesson for the young ones and the old ones, is it not? For she is thy life. Wisdom is thy life. Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the evil way of evil men. Avoid it. Pass not by it. Turn from it and pass away. For they sleep not except they have done mischief, and their sleep is taken away, unless they call some to fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness and drink the wine of violence. But the path of the just, that customary path, that well-trodden road, is indeed the path of the just. The path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. There are paths, brethren and sisters, of which we should not walk. And the wise man points this out in Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 1. Proverbs warns the simple of straying out of that path of life. Verse 1, keep my son, keep my words, and lay up my commandments with thee. Keep my commandments and live, and my law as the apple of thine eye. Bind them upon thy fingers, write them upon the table of thine heart. Say unto wisdom, thou art my sister, and call understanding thy kinsman woman, that they may keep thee from the strange woman, from the stranger which flattereth with her words. And then he tells us in verse 7, and beheld among the simple ones, I discerned among the youths, a young man void of understanding, passing through the street near her corner, and he went the way to her house, in the twilight, in the evening. In the evening, and we are in the evening, are we not, of Gentile times, in the black and dark night. And behold, there met him a woman with the attire of a harlot and subtle of heart. She is loud and stubborn. Her feet abide not in her house. Now she is without, now in the streets, and lieth in wait at every corner. And so she caught him and kissed him, and with an impudent face said unto him, I have peace offerings with me. This day have I paid my vows. Therefore came I forth to meet thee, diligently to seek thy face, and I have found thee. Verse 21. With her much fair speech she caused him to yield. With the flattering of her lips she forced him. He goeth after her straightway, as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasteneth to the snare, and knoweth not that it is for his life. Knoweth not that it is for his life. Let not thine heart decline to her ways, says the wise man. Go not astray in her paths, for she hath cut down many wounded. Yes, many strong men have been slain by her. Her house is the way to hell, going down to the chambers of death. We have to keep, as did David, on that narrow path that leads unto life eternal. That customary road, that road of which Yahweh spoke of in his word. Turn to Proverbs 8 and verse 33. Hear now instruction, and be wise, and refuse it not. Blessed, happy is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favour of Yahweh. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul, or they that hate me love death. Yes, brethren and sisters, here we have it. Happy is the man that heareth me, wisdom, watching at my gate, daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, findeth life, and shall find favour of Yahweh. The word, says the psalmist, shall be a light unto our feet, and a lamp unto our path. Turn to verse 6 and 7 of Psalm 25 once again. Psalm 25 and verse 6 and 7. Remember, O Yahweh, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me, for thy goodness' sake, O Yahweh. Verse 6. Remember, O Yahweh, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. How did David, brethren and sisters, know that the tender mercies of Yahweh, the tender loving kindness of Yahweh hath been of old. Through the very word, brothers and sisters, that we have in our hands, that living word of life, written by the faithful of the past. David was ever a lover of the word of Yahweh and a lover of the temple. And he would read of the faithful of his people. In throughout the word, brothers and sisters, we can read of the tender mercies and loving kindnesses of Yahweh toward those who obey his word. And David was a man after God's own heart. Verse 9 of that chapter, he says, the meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of Yahweh are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony. The meek, the humble, will he teach in the way. Meekness, brethren and sisters, is one of the fruits of the Spirit, is it not? But the Apostle writes of in his epistle to the Galatians, which speaks of true humility and lowliness of mind, which we might say is the opposite of pride, arrogance, self-satisfaction, the attributes of the flesh. Remembering that meekness or humbleness is certainly not weakness. For Moses and the faithful, it is said of Moses, that he was the meekest man that ever lived. Meekness is certainly not weakness. Moses had great strength of character and was prepared to give his life for his people, as did the Lord Jesus Christ. The prophet like unto David, unto Moses, the word of flesh, word made flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ too said, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest to your souls. For I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest to your souls. Verse 12 of that psalm says, what man is he that feareth Yahweh? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. What man is he that feareth? Give reverence unto Yahweh. Him shall he teach in the way he shall choose, and his soul shall dwell at ease. And I always took this to mean that they were to take it easy. But this word easier, and his seed shall inherit the earth, that word ease is not, as we might think, sitting back, taking it easy, but signifies goodness. Or as the margin has it there, shall lodge in goodness. His soul shall lodge in goodness, or dwell in goodness. And if we read that wordy verse there, he says, what man is he that feareth Yahweh? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose, and his soul shall dwell in goodness. His seed shall inherit the earth. In other words, if we fear, if we reverence Yahweh, give him unto him the honor that is his due, as David did, in spirit and in truth, he will teach us of his ways through the living word, and he will bless us in our walk on that narrow path that leads unto life eternal. As we read in Psalm 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of Yahweh, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. That man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters, that bringeth fruit in bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Yes, he shall, in other words, lodge in goodness, dwell in goodness, in the blessings of Yahweh, if he keep the way of Yahweh. And Psalm 23, of which we will look at, sums it up, does it not, brothers and sisters? Yahweh is my shepherd, says David, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest mine head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of Yahweh forever. I shall lodge in goodness, dwell in goodness, in the blessings of Yahweh. Yes, brethren and sisters, and we might add, shall inherit the promises given unto the fathers of an inheritance in that kingdom that shall never be moved, wherein dwelleth righteousness and peace. For it is our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. In verse 14 of that psalm, brothers and sisters, we read, the secret of Yahweh is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward Yahweh, for he shall pluck up my feet out of the net. The secret of Yahweh is with them that feareth him, and he will show them his covenant. This word secret here, brethren and sisters, signifies, according to Young, counsel. It's also rendered in Job 29 and Job 3 and verse 32 as counsel, and also in Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Turn with me to Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. Amos chapter 3 and verse 7. And here we read, surely the Adonai Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealeth his secret unto his servants, the prophets. He doeth nothing, but he revealeth his secrets, his counsel, unto his servants, the prophets. And do not we see this in the scriptures, brethren and sisters? Turn with me to Genesis 18. Genesis chapter 18, which speaks of Abraham at the time when Yahweh was about to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Chapter 18 and verse 16. Read from verse 16. And while he lingered, the man laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon his two daughters. Sorry, I got the wrong one there. The one I wanted was Abraham, and that is the 18th chapter, I'm sorry, and verse 16 there. That's right, sorry, verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went to them to bring them on their way. And Yahweh said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I know him, here we have it again, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of Yahweh to do justice and judgment, that Yahweh may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken of him. And it is wonderful, is it not, brethren and sisters? Surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealeth his counsel unto his servants the prophets. And before the angels destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, they went to Lot, and they told Lot of what they were about to do, and they brought Lot out of the city. Those that failed to heed their word died. And David realized what a privileged position the faithful are in, that we might know the counsel of Yahweh. We are but creatures of earth and dust. When we consider the vast universe in which we live, of which Yahweh creates and sustains, yet he gives unto us his counsel, his secret, his counsel. And David realized what a privileged position we are in. And in Proverbs 3 and verse 32, we read, "The froward, the perverse, are abomination to Yahweh, but his secret, his counsel, is with the righteous." Brethren and sisters, what a privileged position we are in. The people of this world walk in darkness, not knowing what has become of this earth. Some say the earth will be blown up in the end through wars and so forth and be burned up with fire. But the faithful know the counsel of Yahweh. We are aware, brethren and sisters, that the Lord Jesus Christ shall be sent back to this earth, and that glorious kingdom shall be set up, which shall not be removed, but wherein dwelleth righteousness. Yes, the wise in Yahweh have the knowledge of his plan and purpose with this earth and man upon it, and how privileged we are to know it. The Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, "Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you." Henceforth, he says, "I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth." No, a servant doth not just does that which is commanded of him without question. Without question. And is ignorant of his master's intentions. But the Lord Jesus says to his disciples and to you and to me, "I call you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father, I have made known unto you." And you, we have in our very hands the counsel of God, which the world outside might hold the book, might look at its pages, but cannot understand the counsel of God because they do not walk in that way. Yes, ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. And we think of Psalm 19. The law of Yahweh is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of Yahweh is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of Yahweh are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandments of Yahweh are pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear or reverence of Yahweh is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of Yahweh are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, because with all the gold and the silver that people of the world have, at the return of Christ, it will be of no avail to them at all. Yea, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. No wonder David could say, "I have more understanding than my teachers. I have more understanding than my teachers. He desired to learn and pass the priests in their teaching. He says, I have more understanding than my teachers. How true, brothers and sisters, are the words. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet. Turn with me to 119th Psalm. The 119th Psalm. In verse 129, thy testimonies, says the psalmist, are wonderful. What words, brethren and sisters? Thy testimonies are wonderful. Therefore doth my soul keep them. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted. For I longed for thy commandments. I longed for thy commandments. David said, I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. Do we, brothers and sisters, do we long for those commandments? Verse 129, thy testimonies are wonderful. Verse 140, thy word is very pure. I opened my mouth and panted, for I longed for thy commandments. David was as an animal, panting for thirst, for the water of life, brothers and sisters. Turn to Psalm 42 and verse 1. Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O Elohim. My soul thirsteth for Elohim, as for the living ale. When shall I come and appear before me? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy Elohim? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with a multitude and went with them to the house of Elohim with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. It is said, brethren and sisters, that this Psalm 42 was a psalm that David wrote when he fled from Absalom. When he fled out of Jerusalem from Absalom, and from the hill, as he left the city, he looked back, brothers and sisters. He looked back and he could see the temple there and longed with all his heart to appear there before Yahweh, to worship Yahweh in the beauty of holiness and to fear his most holy name. The question, brothers and sisters, do we pant? Do we thirst for the water of life? Do we, brothers and sisters, long for the day, to evenings to come, to have that sweet fellowship one with the other around the word, that precious word of life, that water of life, that we might learn more and understand more, as David said? That we might manifest our Heavenly Father and His beloved Son in our ways, in our daily life. Do we, brethren and sisters? Brother David yesterday brought up Psalm 15. Plus, we go to it once again. Psalm 15. Yahweh, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh the truth in his heart. He that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his neighbour, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbour, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned. But he honoureth them that fear Yahweh. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth out not out his money to usury, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Yes, friends and sisters, walking uprightly, that path that leads unto life eternal. Turn to verse 16 of that Psalm 25. Turn unto me and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. David, dear brothers and sisters, appeals to Yahweh that he might turn unto him and have mercy upon him, for he was desolate and afflicted. If we were to turn, brethren and sisters, the scriptures up this morning to the parts where David's life is recorded, we would see how many times he was desolate and afflicted because of those around him, flesh, who has with the Lord Jesus hated him without cause. They hated him without cause. Indeed, as the Lord Jesus Christ said in his prayer regarding his disciples, I have given them thy word, he said, and the world hath hated them. And the world hath no liking for them, brothers and sisters, that walk in the truth, because we are not of them. We are not of this world. How often, brothers and sisters, do you and I feel separate when we are in places because the people of this world do not want those that walk in the ways of Yahweh? Consider David. Consider David, who had only done wisely and good in the service of Saul, only to be hunted as an animal. Hunted as an animal, living in caves. Think for a moment, brethren and sisters, when we think of David, the man after God's own heart. Think of him in those dark and cold caves. I remember reading an article of someone who went there, and he said you would shiver with cold when you were in there. And David and his friends would be in there, hiding from Saul, having their food in the caves and dens of the earth, as we read in the Paul's epistle to the Hebrews, hiding from Saul, driven also, brothers and sisters, from the land and the temple. He was driven until he had to live with the Philistines. There were times when David was desolate and afflicted, but he asked Yahweh to turn unto him, to comfort him and to strengthen him. There were times too when David, like you and I, brothers and sisters, would displease his heavenly Father and sought mercy and forgiveness, remembering that there is not a man that sinneth not. David was flesh and blood. Although a man after God's own heart, he was flesh and blood like you and I. He was flesh, sinful flesh like you and I. And often we fall. Perhaps we remember when we have done something amiss, brethren and sisters, when we were children, and our parents rightly corrected us and turned away, as it were, their faces from us. We've been told off, given a smack, and they turn away from us. Deep down we knew that we were at fault. We were at fault and deserved the punishment given. but longed for the time when our parents would turn their faces toward us, that we might see that smile and that we might think within our heart, all is forgiven. We've all been through it, have we not, friends, sisters? Consider David. Consider David. David acknowledged his sin, brothers and sisters, before Yahweh, in whom he loved, and had implicit trust in him, and was mindful that the one whom he appealed to was merciful, gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty. Turn to Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Here we read of David with the sin of Bathsheba. There was no offering, brethren and sisters, under the law that David could offer for his sin. There was no offering. He recognized God was righteous and could not look upon sin. But he appealed to him that he would turn his face toward him. Have mercy upon me, O Elohim, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou might be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Verse 11, cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Verse 16, for thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifice of Elohim are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O Elohim, thou wilt not despise. Brethren and sisters, David was broken-hearted over what he had done, and he appealed unto Yahweh to forgive him for his sin, and Yahweh forgave him. It was not David's manner of life to sin willfully before his God, brethren and sisters. It was not his character to sin willfully before his God. And he truly repented. Being flesh, he truly repented. And David bore his punishment faithfully. Let integrity and righteousness preserve me, he says. Let me not be ashamed, for I wait on thee. And that word wait is, or I patiently tarry on Yahweh. This word wait there, brothers and sisters, in that verse there of Psalm 25. Sorry, I should have read it. Verse 21, let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. This word wait, brothers and sisters, has, according to Young, the meaning of expect. Expect. It's a waiting with expectancy. It's like as if we wait for a bus, but we expect it to come along. The faithful of the ages, brethren and sisters, whose enemies hate them with cruel hatred, wait patiently for the day when evildoers, the haters of the truth, shall be cut off. David waited with that in mind. And we see that in Psalm 37. If we turn to Psalm 37, where this word wait is brought out most clearly. Verse 37, we read from verse 1, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in Yahweh and do good, so that thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed." Verse 28. For Yahweh loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Verse 9 tells us, "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait with that expectancy upon Yahweh, they shall inherit the earth. For yet a little while, and the wicked shall not be. Yea, thou shalt diligently consider his place, and it shall not be. But the meek shall inherit the earth, and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace." Yes, brothers and sisters, and in that last verse of this psalm, David cries out, the last verse, "O Yahweh, redeem Israel out of all his troubles." Yes, brothers and sisters, David had great love, as did Moses, for his people. And is not this, brothers and sisters, the hope of the faithful? We read in the anthem 27, we read those words, brethren and sisters, "The redeemed, the freed of Yahweh shall return, and come with singing unto Zion, and everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and mourning shall flee away." David waited in expectancy of that time, and sisters, as all the faithful wait in expectancy for the day of our redemption. The word redemption is to be freed, and we wait to be freed from the shackles of sin, do we not, brothers and sisters? The shackles of the flesh. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, speaking of David, "I foresaw the Yahweh always before my face, for he is on my right hand." What a wonderful way to put it, brothers and sisters. "I foresaw Yahweh always before my face. He is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine only one to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the way of life." Yes, David was given the counsel, as are all the faithful, the counsel of Yahweh. "Thou hast made known to me the counsel of Yahweh. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance." There is no doubt here, brethren and sisters. There's no doubts or wherefores. David knew, brethren and sisters, that he would stand in that day in the kingdom, as we read in the covenant that was made with him. David believed that his Lord would rise, the sun of an unclouded dawn, as Brother Thomas puts it, as the tender grass springing out of the earth by clear shining after rain. "Although," said David, "my house shall not be so with ale, yet he hath made with me an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure. For this is all my salvation and all my desire or delight, though he make it not to grow." Yahweh, David had complete trust in Yahweh that glorious day would come when as he, with all the true Israel who he prayed from, all who overcome it will be granted, as our Lord said, a place with him in his throne. A day when sorrow and crying shall flee away, when we shall dwell in goodness. We sing, brethren and sisters, O watch ye for Zion. The day spring is breaking. Her night has been gloomy, but shortly will end. Her long promised shepherd, his lost sheep is seeking. The heart of the obdurate nation will bend. David spoke of this last night in his remarks, the restoration of Israel. Yes, rejoice ye for Zion. Yahweh has spoken. Jerusalem's outcasts shall yet be restored. The bonds of the fetter-bound slave shall be broken, and Judah set free at the word of the Lord, that greater son of David. David waited patiently, brothers and sisters, for the day, and will be there at its birth, at its dawn, with the Lord Jesus Christ. David will be there, as he was promised, and as he knew and had faith that he would be there. Will you and I, brothers and sisters, will you and I be there with David on that glorious dawn? It is our Heavenly Father's pleasure to give us the kingdom, that with the faithful of the ages, we might indeed enjoy the pleasure at his hand, that which David waited for.